from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. I just got through finished looking at a Carfax just a second ago. I didn't say whose car. I didn't
say. Was it mine?
That's why I'm tired. I was like, man, Ursula.
What does it say? I have been bumped four times since I've owned that car.
Your Carfax says, we ain't been hit by trinkets. I know that. This is Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. And as you can tell, Ursula and I'm telling you, we're off the chain on the air and off the air.
We are.
And that's why we need some professionalism to come and save us.
Yes, and that's going to happen right now.
What's new at 10?
Because this is the time of the week that we have our friend from 770 KTTH, Michael Medved, joining us. And I love it, especially, Michael, when you join us in studio.
Well, it's great, great, great. And it's actually related to something that happened to me since I saw you last, which is I went to a Purim carnival for the Jewish holiday of Purim. It was last week.
Uh-huh.
And people every once in a while, they recognize me. And so a young guy came up to me, a teenager, I think. And he said, you're Michael Medved. I said, yes. He said, do you really know G. Scott?
And okay.
I said, yes. He said, he's my favorite. Would you tell him? He's my favorite. He's the one guy I listen to. He's the one guy I trust. And then he says, you actually work with him in person? I said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was like so impressed by me because I'm a friend of yours.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, I hope I run into him because I could say, well, I work with G every single day.
That's right.
Right. He just thought you were cool. You were such a nice guy. And he said, is he really like that? I said, yeah. He's basically what you hear is what you get. And in any event, I promised him that I would pass on his admiration to you.
Oh, well, if you're listening right now, I really appreciate you, young fella. Appreciate that. That means the world.
Do you have a first name? It's okay. Well, he knows who he is. Yeah, okay, so we got it.
Jacob, actually.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so I want to get into what's going on in terms of people who are getting ready to run for president, because Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he hasn't officially announced, but he is in Iowa today.
Right. Yeah, and just yesterday he met with the Iowa State Legislature and with the Republican members of the state legislature who dominate that legislature. He was escorted by Governor Kim Reynolds. Now, she says she's going to remain neutral, but by taking DeSantis around the state capitol, it's kind of looking like she's heading that direction. The Iowa poll that they released today was pretty good news for Trump, but it does show that compared to last year, he has lost some support.
Mm. So former President Trump is going to be there, I believe, on Monday. Nikki Haley, who declared her candidacy last month, she is wrapping up a tour of the same state. And then it looks like, Tim Scott and Chris Sununu, they also held events in Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know why? Because in March and February, Iowa's just such a wonderful place to visit. It's actually, Iowa's a very beautiful state, but this time of year, which we're talking about a year away from the Iowa caucuses, it becomes a very hot political commodity. I don't believe Chris Sununu is going to run. I don't think he will. I'm not sure about Tim Scott. I am very sure, as you were saying. I mean, Ron DeSantis is going to run because basically it's a twofer for him. It's a free race because even if he doesn't win the nomination and if he loses the nomination to Trump, Trump can't run again. In other words, even if he wins the election, that's it, because the Constitution limits you to two terms, and they can be two non-consecutive terms. Doesn't matter. He doesn't get to run again. So if Ron DeSantis runs and loses to Trump but runs what is perceived to be a strong race, he's only 44 years old. So
forget about that. That's pretty young.
Well, compared to a 78-year-old Donald Trump, which he would be when he's running, and 82-year-old Joe Biden, I mean, it's a different generation. And this is, I think, the point that Nikki Haley, who's 51, is making. Could you believe that Don Lemon said that 51 was past your prime?
Okay.
For women?
For a number of reasons, Don Lemon annoys me, but that would be one of them.
Well, Michael, I wanted to do something different with you today. I love having you on our show, and I think that you being on our show, I think it really helps, and people can see that different opinions, like we like, it's okay. But I want to follow your lead on what's the biggest topic that you are following right now. Whether it's a concern, whether it's good, because there's all kinds of there's the GOP, what's going on, there's right. The war, there's a potential with China, there's Russia, Ukraine. What is something that you are focusing on?
I'll tell you what it is. It's preventing the U.S. economy from collapsing, preventing all of our life savings from being wiped out. And actually, there are very, very serious people. Mark Zandi, who is the leading economist for Moody's Analytics, which mm-hmm. is internationally respected, is talking about we would lose up to 7 million jobs. We're talking about if the government defaults, if they don't raise the damn debt ceiling. And this is one issue where Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans in the House are being wildly irresponsible. You can't monkey with this stuff. It's just ridiculous. And again, the idea of raising the debt ceiling so they have a means of paying for programs they've already spent on. They've already appropriated this money. And trying to play political games with that is just wildly irresponsible. And whoever is identified with that kind of gamesmanship is going to be punished by voters.
Well, let's get into when we're talking about money, because President Biden did just release his budget. He's vowing to cut $3 trillion from the federal deficit over the next decade. But a key part of the plan is that 25% minimum tax on the wealthiest Americans. He'd also raise taxes on oil and gas companies, hike the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%. And that's where Kevin McCarthy, Republican House Speaker, is saying that the plan is unserious. Is that some of what you're touching on?
It is. And this is what's wrong with Biden's approach is before he gets into this whole thing and he's calling for $5 trillion in tax increases. Before he gets into this whole thing, settle the damn debt ceiling. It's really a sword of Damocles that's hanging over all of us. And for people who don't want to pay attention, yes, I believe that experts can often be wrong and they often have the wrong idea. And however, this is so unanimous of people around the world as a threat to the world economy that can impact our lives very profoundly. It's scary. And Biden, rather than going and $5 trillion in tax increases, he's not going to get that from a divided Congress where there's a Republican House. So why not actually do something serious and just sit down and work it out? We're a great country. It shouldn't be so difficult.
Do you think that both sides know how serious this is the way you're talking about it? You're saying that a lot of these world economists are talking about it serious. It's on your radar. Politics aside, this would impact all of us here in this country, whether you're a liberal or a conservative.
Absolutely.
Do you think they know, or do they plan on playing this game out until the very last minute? We actually saw that here in the state of Washington, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think the latter. I think they are interested in posing and planning and to strike a political pose. And the fact is, it's risky. Now, I hope it all gets solved. Mm-hmm. And they say that we really have until June. They were saying July before. Now it's moved up to June. They've just got to do it. And the gamesmanship involved with this, I mean, you remember the past government shutdowns we had. Mm-hmm. It doesn't save any money to anybody. It certainly doesn't make any progress.
It's very disruptive.
Yeah, and we do have the whole budgetary process needs to be fixed. And this is something that Biden could address, should address. Basically, he's simplified everything, saying that look, I want to spend more money on middle class and poor people and take more money away from billionaires. Now, that sounds fine until you realize that, like, raising the corporate tax, raising it by, I think it's 8 points, it would go from 21% to 28%, that raising the corporate tax like that can hurt American companies competitively in the world market. We already have. We have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And even after Trump and Paul Ryan lowered it during the Trump administration, do they need to raise taxes somewhat? Absolutely. Do they need more revenue? They do. Mm-hmm. Do they need to cut spending? Yes. But the idea that the Republicans are now all about spending, we're not going to raise taxes at all, and the Democrats are all about raising taxes, and they're going to actually increase spending on social programs, this is a formula for disaster.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears here, because you came in and you said, have you heard the mixtape? To which I said, what mixtape? Well, let's get a taste of it.
Oh, this is...
These are prisoners singing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Okay, so we're kind of getting it here. So
these are the
J6
prisoners. These are all people who are currently imprisoned for having attacked police officers and wounded 150 police officers and attacked the Capitol building and tried to overturn the results of a legitimate election, which, by the way, we now know that leading conservatives knew was a legitimate election.
Correct.
The same time that they were lying to the public.
Yeah, and not just leading conservatives, but leading conservatives who have big platforms.
Yeah. And, well, no one has a bigger platform than Rupert Murdoch. Oh. And he was very honest and direct. He gave a deposition. Do you think that Biden won the election? Yes. Do you think there was significant fraud in the election? No. And meanwhile, his network was broadcasting the most outrageous lies, and now they're paying for it. Jenna Ellis, one of that elite squad of lawyers who was working with Rudy Giuliani to try to prove the stolen election, she just got censured. She got suspended by the Bar Association in Colorado, and she admitted that she knowingly lied. And again, it and the fact that Trump has loaned his name to the idea of pardoning and releasing and supporting
rioters. So this is to raise
rioters.
Money for that
Correct.
Effort.
It's supposed to be a charitable effort to raise money to help the people who are imprisoned for violent assaults on police officers. I thought the Republican Party was supposed to be pro-law and order.
Can you guys write this date down, Ursula? Write it down. March 10th, 2023. G. Scott did not want to talk about none of that. I wanted peace.
We were talking about Oscars, which we're going to get to.
And right now, I want to talk your Oscar picks.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to talk about none of that negativity. I want positive in my life. Tell us about the Oscar picks, Michael.
Well, I do think that there's a real chance because they've nominated Avatar for Best Picture and they've nominated Top Gun Maverick for Best Picture. They're going to get better ratings this year. They've had the last like 4 years, every year the ratings have gone down to the worst ever, so that basically they have to subpoena people to watch the Oscars now. And I enjoy the Oscars. I think movies are interesting. I think some of the movies that are nominated are interesting. The heavy favorite to win Best Picture is a film that I don't think deserves it, and I don't find particularly enjoyable or admirable at all, which is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah, it got a lot of nominations.
It did. But so did All Quiet on the Western Front.
And you think if there's a movie that we need to watch that – because the only one I've watched is Maverick.
Oh, really?
Top Gun. What should we watch?
Go see All Quiet on the Western Front. Okay. It's a remarkable film. Based on the second Oscar winner ever for Best Picture was All Quiet on the Western Front in 1930. And this is a remake and actually a tremendous improvement on that film. It's one of those films you won't forget. It conveys, I think, very accurately some of the horrors of World War I. Mm-hmm. and people marching off to war with great idealism because their friends are going and because their teachers and pastors and everybody's recommending they go. This is in Germany. Now, the film's in German, but there is a, on streaming, you can get an English language dubbed version, which is actually pretty darn good. Mm. And a great film. That could be an upset. It's also possible there is some people who believe that The Fableman, Steven Spielberg's film, could actually have a strong showing, and that's also a wonderful film.
I tell you what, if the Oscars want me to come back, they need to give all due respect to Maverick. Here's why. Maverick is the movie that made Ursula, myself, and so many of us finally go and see a movie. That's what Maverick did. So the reason why the Oscars fell off, because 90% of the time, there's movies that we've never heard of, Michael.
Correct. You ever heard of RRR?
No.
That's an Indian epic in Hindustani, and it's nominated for Best Picture, and not many Americans have seen it.
But I heard one of the songs from that movie was also nominated, correct?
Yeah. Look, this is an interesting crop of movies. Some of the films I've really hated that are nominated for Best Picture. There's a film called Women Talking, which I know sounds so exciting. But there are some great films, including Maverick, Top Gun, which is one of the best films of its kind. Devotion, which is another film about Navy flyers, a true story in this case, and from the Korean War with Jonathan Majors and Brett Powell, and it's a terrific film. Glenn Powell.
Well, our good buddy Jeremy in Fall City says that Everything Everywhere is really good, so I'm going to take you.
Most people agree with him. Not me. Jeremy, okay. You've got the majority on your side, at least among Oscar voters.
So, wait, is your vote go to Maverick?
No, my vote for Best Picture would go to All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a great World War I epic. Maverick's a sequel, too,
which
would be very unusual for a sequel to win. That happened with Godfather
2.
Yeah.
Yeah! Maverick got us out. Michael, it's always good to have you on the show. Write this date down. I did not want to discuss nothing. I wanted a kumbaya and peace today, Michael.
We've got kumbaya and peace. We can all appreciate President Trump's new mixtape. It's one of his
and I want to point out it was Michael who brought that up.
I think that mixtape, I think even Donald Trump supporters are cringing at that.
Well, again, do we really want to make January 6th a big issue on one side or another for 2024? I certainly hope not.
All right. Again, kumbaya.
Kumbaya, that's right. Look, enjoy the Oscars. And yes, we have St. Patrick's Day coming up, too.
Yes.
There's
a
big Irish film nominated for Best Picture, of course, The Banshees of Inisherin.
I haven't been one to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but okay.
So was this year.
Don't be trying to pinch me.
Michael,
thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You bet.
You can listen to Michael on our sister station, KTTH. His show is amazing, as always. Would you, coming up next here on the Gene Ursula Show, Ursula, what are we doing at 10:30?
We are switching it up. We are going to have Matt Markovich join us because there is something new about a wealth tax in the state of Washington.
I ain't wealthy, so we good. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.
To the Gene Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Fresh Friday. And just a couple of minutes ago, I was talking to Michael Medved, and I mentioned that President Biden was talking about taxing the wealthiest Americans. But it turns out there's also an effort in this state to do the same. And our reporter, Matt Markovich, joins us now. So tell us about this proposed wealth tax and who it would affect.
Well, it's a brand new. This is never, no other state has tried this. We would be the first state in the country to tax the uber rich. And we figured out it's about 700 people in this state, but it brings up a lot of ramifications. It's taxing them 1% on all the stocks and bonds they earn over $250 million. Mm. So that means that the first $250 million is tax-free. Anything that they have over and above that will be 1% tax, like a property tax going to the state of Washington. And a lot of people aren't happy. This is going to be one of those big deals now, because even though you say maybe they're not paying their fair share, the state has a regressive tax system, which means that the people who make the least amount of money proportionally get taxed the most. We're known for that in Washington state.
We are.
So this is one way that this could change that. And let me just play a little bit of what the main senator who sponsors it, and it kind of sets it up for her, for everybody.
Simply put, the main wealth building tool of the middle class has always been our homes, and we already tax that. That is the property tax. But the main wealth building tool of billionaires and ultramillionaires is financial property, and we don't tax that at all. Tax rate of 0%.
So they get 0%. So
you said a lot of people are fighting. Who exactly is fighting this and why? You said a lot of people are fighting this. So who is doing the main pushback?
How about this guy?
My name is Tim Iman from Bellevue, and it really boils down to this. Successful people weren't just lucky. They worked their butts off. They took huge risks, sacrificed a lot over many years, and earned their money. And the people who didn't earn this money don't deserve to get it from the people who did. And why? Because it's not their money. They didn't earn it.
The successful people benefit off of a whole lot of people in this country not being able to buy real estate? The successful people benefit off of redlining in this country? I know I'm supposed to forget about those things, but those things happen. You can't just pretend like there hasn't been generations upon generations of people not allowed to go ahead and purchase homes, not allowed to go to college, not allowed to get jobs, not allowed to do a lot of things, while some people go ahead and benefit from those things. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off topic, Ursula. Well, go ahead. So I was just having a moment.
No. I'm glad you're bringing this up.
That's quite the setup there for Tim Lehman.
It really was. And anyone watching on the cameras could see that I was trying to hold my laughter in just because of the way you set it up. Yeah. Now, this sounds familiar. So has this been tried before?
No, this has not been.
In the state of Washington?
Well, no.
Something similar?
Well, this is those end arounds to tax income. There's no income tax, right?
Of course,
It constitutionally cannot have an income tax here. But the courts have ruled that income is property. So they're saying this is a property tax, but in this state, you have to have a uniformity property tax. So if I made, $10 off my investments, I should be paid the same tax rate as if I made $250 million off that tax rate. And this is not a uniform tax. So will this be challenged? You bet, if this ever goes through the whole thing. But go ahead, G.
Outside of Tim Wyman, who are the other people? Ursula asked a question. Who are the other people that are so against this?
Well, here's a guy named Jeff Pack.
You must feel like Robin Hood, except for you folks are far from Robin Hoods. We're like Robins in Hoods, the grim reapers of wealth taxation, because surely no one needs that much money, so it must be given to others. That's shameful.
Okay, wait, hold up. So what would the money be used for?
There's a lot of people out there.
So what would the money be used for? I mean, so the money
would go to education, a lot of support services. That's what it's earmarked for. So it's going to go into dedicated funds, not the general fund, like they can spend it for whatever. Primarily education.
Okay. And so it's past the House now?
It's in this Ways and Means in the Senate. But is it likely to pass? You want to ask that question?
Yes.
Here's the most powerful senator of all in terms of the Democrats. And his name is Andy Billig. And he kind of he doesn't feel so good about it.
It tends to be hard to be the first state to do something. And we would be the first state to implement a tax like this. Typically when a bill comes up that's 10 or 15 other states have done already, we can ask, well, what happened there? When we're the first state, that lends itself to more questions.
So
wow, there's always got to be a first.
Yeah. So we're going to be the one state going through the wall that's going to get bloodied on this. So will it happen this year? Probably not. Will it face a court challenge if it ever does happen? Absolutely. People will say this is an income tax. What do you guys think?
Do we have a history in this country of propping up the rich? you know, the same ones that work so hard to get where they are. And this whole thing, whenever I hear they work so hard to get where they are, it drives me up the wall. Because when you talk about Amazon and you talk about any company that's out there doing, I can show you a whole bunch of people that's out there in the trenches, right? When we quarantined, Ursula, when COVID hit, how many executives did we see out there working? None. We saw essential workers, and the essential workers that are out there, they aren't the billionaires. They're the ones that don't have sick time. They're the ones that don't have PTO. Miss me with the whole, we work so hard to get where we are. I'm so sick and tired of this narrative of people in suits as if they work hard. It's a damn lie.
Okay,
doing the working are the people in the trenches.
I have no problem with people in suits making a lot of money. But when we're talking about 1% after your first $250 million, I mean, my first thought is, are you really going to miss that?
I'm 700 sorry. People.
700 people. I don't think that's going to be a mass exodus of people who are going, okay, it's no longer friendly here, I'm going to move out, which has been the argument, like, mm-hmm. oh, you're just going to drive that's business right. out of here. We're talking about a very small number of people who are doing very, 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 very well, and you're talking about a tiny amount, mm-hmm. Relatively speaking. So that's my...
Does everyone that work at Amazon, does everyone have health care that works for Amazon?
No.
No.
What are we talking about? It reminds me of the movies that we used to watch. Think of it. Let me set the background. There's somebody on top of the hill, and they're just passing out breadcrumbs to the people. And then there's somebody said, please pick me. I want the bread. Please let me get the bread. This is exactly what we're doing in this country. There's no damn way in the world that one person has $170 billion. They get a divorce. Wife goes away. She's got billions. And since the divorce, she has even more money. Man, I'm just tired of this whole narrative of executives.
I know. She's now standing up. Okay, wait, hold it. Because just in a few words, is the pursuit bill still alive?
Correct. Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we're going to keep talking about that. But
okay.
Go to your local grocery store right now. Go to your local grocery store. Tell me how many executives you see when you go to the grocery store. No, you're going to see Pam at the bakery. You're going to see Roscoe at the meat department. And you're going to see your favorite cashier. Don't tell me nothing about executives running nothing. When it's closed down and the country is in peril and don't know where we're going to live, who do we see? We see all of the essential workers that don't all have health care. Sorry, Matt.
No.
I just got lost my mind.
It only took me five minutes to make you stand up and get mad. Thanks for introducing that.
And it might not go anywhere, but it looks like that's the
direction.
But
it's going to be a huge issue going forward for years. And I thought, you heard it here first. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shout out to the working class. Shout out to the people that's out there in the trenches doing the work. Shout out to the people that are continue to be underpaid, but they can't afford to live in their own neighborhood while the executives of the world make all the money. Coming up next, we do scenarios. G and Ursula. You know, Ursula, it's Fresh Fridays. But before I get to scenarios, I think Paul's messing with me. Because I just looked at the show sheet. The staple comes in from the back, and then there is like it's front and back. Are you doing this because you're trying to save paper?
No, it is commendable.
I hit print from my station in the newsroom, and when it comes out, it goes both sides, and for some reason it staples in the bottom right corner. So then I've been taking the staple out because last time I filled in, I got teased because who staples things in the bottom right corner? No one does that.
But this
then I was rushing and I was trying to get it there.
I got two pages and I can't find nothing.
You gotta understand, she grabs that thing to look to see what he can tease ahead. And if he can't find it, he's looking like 2 hours ahead of where he needs to be.
I'm gonna have to figure out what Chef does. I don't know why my button is
figure out what Chef does. He puts the staple from the front.
He gives us three pages instead of two.
Do we even have time for scenarios?
Yes, we do.
Scenarios! Here we go, yo! My husband and I have been married for 6 years and have a lovely 3-year-old daughter. I want to have another baby now so our kids will be close in age and grow up best friends the way I grew up. In fact, I think we're already a year too late. My husband and I talk about it and he keeps saying, maybe soon. This has been going on for 6 months and I'm starting to think he doesn't want another kid at all. I know this should be a decision we make together, like our first baby, and we did that, but I'm thinking about just not taking my birth control pills to accidentally, whoopsie, get pregnant. My best friend says, don't do that, because her brother divorced her sister-in-law after something like that. So now I'm having second thoughts, but as of now, I'm planning to make today the last day that I take my pills. Am I wrong for doing this? 888-973-5476, the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up to bat first.
Yes, you are wrong, because you are not being honest. Now, if something were to happen and it truly was an accident, that's one thing. But you are intentional about it. You are planning to do it because you're not getting the answer that you want for your husband. That said, I would have that conversation with your husband, say, if not now, when? And give a timeline and pin him down to a timeline, because your biological clock is ticking, and you know there is something about the timing of it. And when you are ready, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have a baby right away. So you know, if your idea is to keep your kids closer in age, or closer in age to cousins or whatever it is, you need planning. So you need to pin your husband down to when is the right time.
I'm gonna take Barry in the 253. Thank you, Barry. Barry says three words: stop, no, and don't. Paul, what you got, bro?
Yeah, you can't be doing that. A kid is way too much responsibility, way too many things to just go, surprise, I did this thing that I just stopped taking pills because you were talking to me about it. Talk it out. That's what you should do in this situation. Adding another kid into that mix, and if it happened that way, whew, I couldn't imagine that conversation.
What's your faith? Ursula, what does that sound like when the biological clock is ticking? Is there a certain sound?
With a little panic.
Oh, you hurt me. You hurt my neck.
You hear the sounds of certain things shriveling.
You know it's Friday.
I don't even know what we're talking about here. Secretly getting pregnant, get out of town. I get trying to get the sibling a closer age relative, but what favor are you doing to your significant other, slipping the pill behind your back saying, I'm not taking this? Wait, going behind the back on that one. I'm not with it. Not at all.
In bad times,
it's just dishonest.
On your side forevermore. I was the only kid when I was little in the 80s singing this song. I love Dionne Warwick. All right.
I think Nick needs to give us a different kind of tune for what you need. I think Goldie's shocked by what I just said.
Hey, the entire text line is going bananas over your tick and what happens during the biological clock.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
What's that sound again?
Just gets louder and louder.
That's a better one.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for Agree to Disagree. Remember, it is Fresh Friday, so we're still holding on to the rails. Thank you guys for listening. Gina Ursula. Yeah. The motherfucker don't know how to act. Yeah. Don't let me make up for the things you lack. Yeah. 'Cause you're burning up, I gotta get it past.